This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good afternoon, this is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 164 of Within the Trenches. And this episode is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. Now, episode 163, if you've had a chance to listen to it, you heard the announcement of the Survive and Thrive Fit Challenge. And I had Jim and Ryan from the 911 Training Institute on the episode. And we were talking about, you know, a lot of stuff that we've been going through personally with different medical issues and just trying to get healthy. And it's something that I'm excited about. I've started doing some of the stuff already. We're going to jump into it more on the first of the year, January 1st, 2018. I'll be pushing it even more. But if you've been paying attention to social media on Facebook and Twitter, Jim has already called me out over social media. He posted a picture of himself working out and called me out saying, asking, what am I going to do or when am I going to announce what I'm doing so that people can hold me accountable for this whole thing, hashtag Survive Thrive FC. So yeah, he's already called me out. So I've been posting some pictures myself. It's a little hard to take a picture of myself doing a yoga pose, which I guess that could be a yoga pose in itself, trying to take a picture while I'm doing one. I did post a picture today, and I look like a goof in it, just like always. I don't ever know how to take a selfie or what face to make or anything. So I always have a face like an oops face. It looks like, you know, I cracked one off or something and I was embarrassed. At least that's the way the picture looked that I just posted earlier today, but I'm getting better. So really, really quick on this whole Survive and Thrive Fit Challenge. This is a challenge kind of between Jim and I, as well as Ryan, where, you know, we realized there was something in ourselves that was really, really stressing us out. You know, our health was not doing good. We're always on the go, and we have not taken a chance to really stop and look at what we are doing, you know, health-wise and you know, mentally, it can get exhausting. And when I was in dispatch, it was the same way. I never thought about myself. And I wish I could go back and tell myself, hey, you need to take a moment to just kind of step back, relax, or, you know, even get off your ass and do something, you know, get more motivated to do other things, you know, stay healthy. There's so many things that I wish I could have done, but that I'm doing now. And in doing this fit challenge with Jim and Ryan, we're not trying to tell people what to do or how to live their lives or anything. We're hoping that you see what we're doing and maybe inspire you to join in on what we're trying to do for ourselves and do something for yourself in trying to get yourself, you know, healthy. So a lot of good stuff that's going to be coming from this. Again, like I said, Jim already called me out, and hopefully you'll get in on the fun and we can all, you know, hold each other accountable for what we're doing. So also with the 911 Training Institute, they are going to be the podcast sponsor for the month of January. If there are any other industry partners, organizations, training companies, anything like that who would like to be a sponsor as well, you can reach out to me. It's wttpodcast@gmail.com. Really starting to ramp that up now. So definitely get a hold of me and we can go on that as well. So there are only two episodes left in 2017, and that is including this one. And the next one, and the final one of 2017, will be an Imagine Listening episode. And if you don't know what Imagine Listening is an extension of the Within the Trenches podcast and is based on the stories that make up the I Am 911 movement. So this last episode is also going to include a big announcement. I've been working on this from, you know, for some time now and since the beginning of the movement, and I'm really excited to announce it because I'm going into the final stages and completing what this project is or this next step. You know, I've been trying to get your stories out there to a bigger audience, and I believe this next step will get it out there even further. So stay tuned for that episode. And with that said, today's guest is a good friend of mine, and he is not only a, you know, day one supporter of the I Am 911 movement, but he is an all-around 911 educator and advocate for dispatcher health and wellness, and he is the co-founder of The Healthy Dispatcher. It's Adam Tim. How's it going?
Hey, Ricardo. It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. You have been traveling like crazy. However, you finally have gotten a chance to kind of relax a little bit.
Yeah, it's been a busy year, but now just done for the year and not headed out again until the end of January. So it's nice to take a little breath. When at the same time where the collective world is taking a breath here at the end of the year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you end up starting up again, or at least let's go back to last year. You had your break, and then after that break was over, you were going everywhere. I mean, the Facebook posts were, you know, you say where you're traveling from, to and from, you know, going back and forth, and then pictures from all these different conferences and training events and such. I don't know how you do it, man. I thought I traveled a lot. I think you travel way more than I do, but it's good because you're bringing the, you know, the education and, you know, health, wellness, how to be resilient and how to beat dispatcher burnout. It's a good thing.
Well, thank you. And I feel so fortunate to be able to work with so many and meet so many awesome dispatchers all across the country. I think I did about 120,000 miles in the air this year, 2017, which was my busiest year yet. And it means that there's a demand for the message and for the tools that I'm sharing. So it's just awesome.
No, it's definitely good. I've heard many, many good things about the classes, and a lot of people have come up and they say, "Do you know Adam Tim?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, I know who he is. He's a good guy, man. He's got good stuff." So you traveled that much on a plane, but how about, do you do any like Uber or Lyft or anything like that? What do those look like?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really monitor my Uber and Lyft, but I do take an Uber and Lyft. I rarely rent a car because I'm pretty close to the training facility or the hotel from the airport. So even in Los Angeles, I live in Santa Monica and it's about 10 miles to the airport. And I don't think I drove my car maybe two or three times this whole year. I just take an Uber or Lyft from my house to the airport and back. But yeah, it's 120,000 miles in the air and then a little bit zipping around in local areas. Not too much though, because it's all kind of close.
You've got to be like a diamond member now for flights.
I just made executive platinum on American Airlines. So
geez,
I guess that's something.
I didn't even know that existed.
It's kind of like, it's bittersweet because that means I got this notification from American Airlines congratulating me on the year, and they break it all down. They said, "Congratulations, you spent 280 hours on a plane this year." And I'm like, "Gosh, I don't know if that's something to be proud of."
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's like taking down a huge food challenge and getting a t-shirt and like, yeah, but then thinking I just ate like 5 pounds worth of food in one sitting.
Yeah. Oh man. Anyway, so I look at it from another perspective.
Yeah, for sure. Now for those who are listening, for those who don't know all about, you know, you and the Healthy Dispatcher, just a quick overview, you know, on your background, where you come from and what you currently do.
Sure. I came out of 911. I was a 911 telecommunicator for the Los Angeles Police Department for a little over 10 years, and it was through 2003 to 2013. And for those of you who are not familiar with LAPD Communications Divisions, it's one of the largest communications division in the country. I was one of 500 dispatchers, and we were understaffed by about 100 bodies then. I think they're staffing up now. They have about 650 telecommunicators, so that's line staff, and then a cadre of about 80 to 100 supervisors. So communications division at the LAPD is the single largest division in all of the Los Angeles Police Department. It's just huge. We processed 3 million calls for service each year. And during my 10 years, where the reason I do what I do now is during my 10 years, I grappled with the burnout. I grappled with the stress of the job. I was internalizing all the struggle that I was listening to on the phones. And for me personally, it wasn't really the 911 calls, which were the most challenging. I thought that people placing 911 calls for emergency, in an emergency nature, those were my opportunities to kind of help people truly in need. And that's really what I signed up for when I said yes to the job. It was the 70% of all calls to LAPD 911 that are non-emergency that I had the most challenging times with, especially with folks who are reporting, my 8-year-old won't obey the house rules. The ice cream truck is too loud. Can you have them move down the street? So I was kind of stewing in my own inner anguish, having to deliver good customer service to these types of callers. And I found that they were the most vocally negative when you told them, I'm sorry, this isn't a service that the police provide. And I found it interesting that during my training to do this job, I didn't get a lot of instruction on the impact of the job on the rest of my life. Like, I had an expectation that I could easily keep the rigors of the job from spilling over into my daily life, and that just wasn't the case. And so when I found tools for resilience, the tools that I talk about in my classes, at the 7-year mark, they changed my life. My life literally transformed by using 2 or 3 tools on a daily basis for about 6 weeks every single day. My life was no longer the same. I was no longer angry Adam, a bitter, disgruntled, burnt out dispatcher. I was something different. And I was so inspired by that experience of personal transformation that I knew I had to share it with others. And so while still working at the LAPD, I started a series of stress reduction classes. People started to ask me to teach stress reduction and stress management blocks of instruction in their 3-day classes for California Post certified classes. And it kind of started there. And from there, it took about three and a half years of working on my own stuff, working on, first of all, using the tools myself. Second of all, turning them into class material and designing classes and becoming a better speaker. After about 3 years, I had the courage to go out and do it on my own. And I left the LAPD. And that was about 4 years ago that I left the LAPD to do training and speaking full time under the Healthy Dispatcher. And that's all I do now. I work specifically with 911. And I'm most passionate about working with frontline telecommunicators, frontline supervisors, because this job takes a toll, as we know. I mean, you know, after working within the trenches that
for
that,
sure.
It's happening. And so that's what I'm most passionate about is empowering those who continue to work in the trenches and love the job and sometimes feel like, you know, how do I keep working this job until retirement when I don't know if I want to go in tomorrow? And those folks are who I'm most passionate about helping and empowering through the work of the Healthy Dispatcher.
Yeah, it's definitely needed because I don't have a huge following on Twitter, but I have a lot of people that follow me and that I follow back. And I see a lot of people post, you know, just tweets here and there about not wanting to be at work. But then, you know, something good happens and they switch their tweets. So, you know, some of them also have gone to training classes and I noticed that their tweets change. So whatever you're doing and others who are, you know, helping to train on similar topics, it's definitely helping. Cause I mean, I've seen where it kind of switches, but there are definitely those. And I was one of them, when I was in dispatch, who I would go in and I loved the job, but sometimes I just didn't want to be there. And, right. And also like you dealing with the non-emergency calls with people on like the one that you said about the ice cream truck being too loud. We had a gentleman in the city where I worked that he lived in a trailer park that was close to, it was a few miles from the county fairgrounds. And he called into 911 to see if we could have them quiet down. the county fairgrounds to have them quiet down. And we just had to say, you know, sir, there's nothing, there's no volume control. I mean, there's nothing we can really do. The gentleman had lived there. He's lived there for years, 15, 20 years. And so he should have been used to it, but it was just, I don't know, something that day that he wanted to call to see if they could quiet down the fairgrounds. But, you know, either way, you're doing excellent work. And so back in November, just last month, in partnership with, you know, yourself and the Healthy Dispatcher, as well as the Denise Amber Lee Foundation, you guys hosted the first 911 training summit in North Carolina, correct?
We did on November 16th and 17th in Charlotte. I had the great fortune of partnering with Nathan Lee and Ryan Chambers of Denise Amber Lee Foundation to do what we had been planning for months to do. And it was just awesome.
Well, and so how did the whole idea start? I think we talked about it a little bit, maybe in Denver or in San Antonio, you know, this past summer during the national conferences. But how did this whole idea come about?
Well, when it was actually last year, while I started zigzagging across the country, I would come to a training location and they would say to me, "Hey, have you met Nathan Lee of the Denise Amber Lee Foundation? Because the way that your story fits with his, you guys should really get together. You should meet and you should do something together." And I heard from Nathan when I finally I had heard about Nathan Lee and Denise Amber Lee Foundation for the better part of a year before Nathan and I actually were in the same room and shook hands for the first time. And when in that conversation, when we finally met for the first time face to face, Nathan said the same thing. He said, "Yeah, Ryan and I, we've been zigzagging across the country. It's like we came the week after you had been there, or the Healthy Dispatcher was about to come." And they would say, "Nathan, have you met Adam Tim? The way that your stories complement each other, you should really get together and do something together." And it was through others' urgings that the idea kind of came about. And aside from that, from the fact that Nathan's harrowing story is just amazing and heart wrenching and tragic, and that it could have been prevented by dispatchers really taking a personal approach to remaining sharp and remaining engaged on the job, kind of what I talk about with preventing our own burnout situation. Mm-hmm. We were like, gosh, if we could do these our classes in conjunction together, but also have it be kind of a destination and not a 1 hour breakout session at conference, because my shortest class is 8 hours, and sometimes I feel like that's not even enough time. So when people come and see my breakout sessions at any of the APCO, NENA state conferences all over and the national conferences, 50 minutes is just feels rushed for me, because I like to get people talking about the material, to really reflecting on what it means to them. And Nathan and Ryan were kind of feeling the same thing, like 50 minutes. It's great for people to experience it while they can, but it's not enough. So we're thinking, how can we do a something, whether it's a conference, whether it's whatever, how can we do something where there's a couple of days of training when it's focused specifically on the training? There's not all this other stuff going on. and really give those in attendance some tools and perspectives that they can go back to their centers and use. And the 911 Training Summit was born out of those conversations and that intention.
That's awesome. And I agree that the 50 minutes is definitely not enough, because I was in one of your classes. This was, I had to have been maybe 2 years ago now, or a year, something like that. It was in Colorado, and I was in your class. It was the day that I was leaving, I think. And I had told you I'm going to be at the hotel still long enough in the morning so I can sit in your class. And I sat up front, which was awesome, because I had a front row seat of your energy. And I mean, you've got, you know, I can tell the passion that you have just talking to you face to face and your energy. But when you're in front of a class, you go up a few notches. And I felt like my eyes were just like popped open, because I'm just watching you as you're going through and talking and your passion for what you're talking about and helping the dispatchers. And then you have all of us, you know, kind of turn and introduce ourselves and tell each other something. I was like, oh shit, here we go. But it was good, you know, to have that energy, because I've also been in classes where there's not a lot of energy going on. And like the topic could be it's a good topic, but it's all in the delivery. And if you don't do it right, it's not going to be good. But in that class with you, I at the end of it, I felt like, is there a second part to this? And I think you had another class right after that, actually. It might have been for the same thing, because you had a double back-to-back or something like that. But yeah, I agree. It's got to be just a little more, because it just feels like there's more that needs to come out there.
Well, I think that's the instructors who are passionate about their material. Like for me personally, my goal, if I haven't given tools that people can take out of the room that they can use to change their life, change their behavior. And I'm not talking about heroic striving effort. Like I don't believe that anyone should think that they need to reinvent their life after attending a training class. I do think, however, that they should leave with two or three things that they can definitely use to make a one degree of shift, because one degree of shift sustained over, like, we're coming into New Year's resolution time. One degree of shift sustained over the next 365 days will reinvent your life. Mm-hmm. And that one degree of shift can be as simple as saying no to an extra glass of wine or whatever that is. Sleeping, doing one thing to sleep better 5 nights out of the week. You don't have to do everything all at once. And so when people start thinking about it on their terms, thinking about the class material and talking about it with the person sitting next to them, they're building a relationship with the class content. And I think that just takes a longer period of time. We can't just do death by PowerPoint and read the bullets and say, okay, you've been trained, now go change the world. People right. have to incorporate it into their worldview. And I just think more time is needed for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the same thing like what we're doing right now with this episode. If I did a 5 to 10 minute episode with you, that's like my intro. Yeah. I mean, I could, of course, cut the intro down and we could just be talking, but that's not enough. And I've noticed with people, you know, just talking in general, that once you get them talking for, you know, 15, 20 minutes to 30, almost an hour, you get tons of information out and it makes it more, it's more in depth and it's more personal. And that's why I do these a lot longer. So it's exactly going in with like your classes, they got to be a lot longer. Now with the training summit that you all did, what was the energy like in there? So I saw some pictures and I saw, you know, the opening ceremony part of it. And it was, I really wish I could have been there, but you know, I've got a 9-to-5 as well, so I couldn't go, but I really wanted to be there. And I'm hoping that I can catch one of the next summits that you guys end up having. But again, what was that like when it very first started and you're there, your idea that you guys had is now right there in front of you. You're living it.
Well, first of all, we all had that same kind of, oh, this is so amazing. And both Ryan and Nathan got up in front of the room and did the welcome. And they said that exact same thing. Like, we've been talking about this for months and planning, and to see this idea come together and to have you all in this room, we were just overflowing with gratitude. And there definitely was an excitement. There was a buzz about it. We had about 120 telecommunicators from all around the country. The design around the 911 Training Summit is to come into local communities where there's a lot of telecommunicators within about 50 miles, mm-hmm. and they can drive in. So the majority drove in from various PSAPs around North Carolina. We had some folks from Virginia. We had folks fly in from New York. We had some folks fly in from California, from Colorado.
Wow.
It really blew us away how far people came to be a part of the summit. And I think that impacted the overall energy level. It became somewhere that people traveled to be with, and that impacted the networking and the relationships that were built through it. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's something that's definitely needed, because, you know, there's, you and I have been there, and those who are listening, your dispatch center can't always afford to send you places. You know, there's not always money in the training budget. Well, you came from LA, so I don't know, you might've had the money to do it, but, for my PSAP, at least, we didn't have a lot of money and we couldn't fly out to places. You know, I would have used my own money to do it, but there were some instances where we were able to go to some of the, the state conference, of course, but to have it locally like that for people to drive to, it's a lot better and, you know, definitely cheaper to be able to do it that way. But then to have people fly out from other states, that, man, that had to have been like the greatest feeling.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was overwhelming to have that representation. And what you were just talking about is exactly what was motivating the creation of the summit as well. Even an agency who has the budget to send folks to a national conference, it's $2,000 minimum with hotel, with the conference registration, with meals. That's a ton of money. You can only, even an agency that can afford, that has the budget to send folks to national conference, they can only send a couple people at that rate. And then they have to run around. There's like 180 different sessions. And did they really get the instruction? Yeah, they were part of something, but did they get tools that they could really take back? And so the summit, because it's local, because it's only $175 a day, and it's 16 hours of training, as opposed to can you even piece together 16 hours of training at the national conferences or even a state conference? I don't know. So all of these things went into the planning of the training summit, which is why we're so excited that we're going to do it a couple more times in 2018.
Yeah, and that's definitely going to be needed. So the classes that were taught there, what were the classes?
So we had four classes, and the first class on the morning. So we had a class, a four-hour session in the morning on day one, a four-hour session in the afternoon on day one, a four-hour session in the morning on day two, and a four-hour session in the afternoon on day two. The first session on day one was Nathan and Ryan's four-hour A Victim's Plea, mm-hmm. the Denise Amberley story. So we started it off there with, for those of you who haven't experienced A Victim's Plea and Denise Amberley's story and the way that Nathan tells it, it really highlights the life-saving role of every 911 telecommunicator. Like the very next call can be the one where you save a life. And if we're not careful, it can go the other way. So we started off because we really wanted to underscore the importance of every person in the room. And then the afternoon on day one, I did the The Power of Resilience. It was my 4-hour beating dispatcher burnout class. So where I come and talk about the impact of stress and the power of building resilience and all the little mindset shifts that we can use on a daily basis to prioritize our self-care, to leave work at work, and to show up at 100% each and every day, because you never know when you're going to get that call. That's the structure of day one. The Denise Amberlee story told by Nathan and Ryan, and then the Power of Resilience in the afternoon.
The Denise Amberlee story, that, if for those of you who don't know, if you have not heard of it, you can actually look it up. I mean, all you have to do is Google it and you can find the Dateline episode that actually, you know, had all of this story on there. When I first started doing the podcast and I was pushed at the national conference, this was back in 2013, Charlotte, North Carolina, where it was held. There was a class that dealt with dispatch standards, training standards, and they had Nathan Lee there for that panel discussion. And I wanted to go because I had recently watched that episode of Dateline, and I saw his name on the agenda for that day when I was there, and I wanted to go and listen to him speak. And he plays a video from that's cut from that Dateline episode, and my God, there was not a dry eye in the room, and I just sat there, and because I didn't know, you know, there was nothing I could do or say. Of course, you know, there's a class going on and stuff, but I just wanted to go over there and talk to him. Well, I ended up having him on an episode like right after that. And then he and I have been in contact ever since then. So for the class that they gave, you know, A Victim's Plea, just watching that Dateline piece, you'll understand where he's coming from and where everything, you know, derives from. And it's definitely one that you have to hear, especially when he's telling it. It's just something that you have to experience. I can't even, give it justice or anything, but it's definitely a class to check out. So what about the energy from the attendees? What were you getting from them? Did it seem like it was something that they were longing for, you know, like that type of training? Because there are a lot of dispatchers that I've talked to who have said, I've come to a conference or I've gone to a training session and it was something that I needed. It was something that I felt like finally I'm getting this sort of training and I'm learning something and I can take it back to the dispatch center.
Yeah, absolutely. After each day there was on breaks, there was conversation. First of all, there were people who had been in A Victim's Plea before and just wanted to hear the story again because it filled them with an understanding of why they do what they do on a daily basis as 911 telecommunicators. And then the tools for resilience, so the Power of Resilience, how to beat dispatcher burnout, it's a great way of seeing so Nathan's story is the why, like why we do what we do. We do it to save lives.
Right.
My story, having been a burnt out dispatcher and disgruntled for the majority of my early career, and then using some simple tools to change my life and to change my perspective and change who I was both on and off the job. That's kind of the how. Like, how do you last in this profession? And so these stories fit so well together, the why and the how. And at the end of day one, people are going, wow, this is I already got what I came for. And we still have a whole nother day of instruction.
And I bet just, you know, walking around and listening to them, you know, they're now, they've gone through both of these classes and they're networking. And like we were talking earlier, before we started recording in dispatch, there are some times that we don't always talk to each other about our issues or some problems or, you know, even ask for help. And from going through both of these classes, I bet you noticed a lot of them that were networking, not just networking, but kind of, you know, giving their experiences and seeing, you know, what works, what doesn't work, or what one person has done that will help another person. And, you know, the main thing is getting people to talk.
Well, yes. And I have to give recognition to Johnny Horn. Johnny Horn was our host, our local host. He works with Charlotte Fire right there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he had arranged a shuttle bus from the Charlotte Fire Department to take groups to various dinner locations and entertainment locations in downtown Charlotte, both on the summit was on Thursday and Friday of the week. On Wednesday night, he had arranged a shuttle bus to take people to places to eat. On Thursday night after the sessions, we had another excursion planned. And so not only did people travel to be – we hosted this at a hotel. It was at the Sheraton Charlotte Airport. So people came to the hotel, and they were there. Most people stayed at the hotel, mm-hmm. and so they were just hanging out, making friends. And what I found so interesting about working in the profession for really the most of my 10 years is that I didn't know that there was a whole community of 911 professionals across the country that I could tap, that I could talk to, that I could say, "Hey, are you grappling with these same issues?" To know that I'm okay, that the struggles that I'm going through are not mine alone, that there are others on board with this, and that we're all part of this big family. And it wasn't until I left LAPD that I discovered this family that is a nationwide family of 911 professionals. And so each day after the sessions at the summit, we saw that. We saw people getting out of their PSAP cliques and talking with other people and building friendships, and that was really awesome to see as well.
Yeah, that's really good. I you can't see me. They can't. No one can see me right now, but I've got a big smile on my face because
I can hear it.
I love hearing that people are, you know, actually getting together, opening up and, you know, getting out of their comfort zone, you know, and especially breaking up from, you know, your comfortable cliques, and then just expanding, talking, learning. That's what this is all about. And that's what's needed. And, you know, I didn't, you know, realize all of that. Like, I had my friends in, you know, surrounding agencies and such, but when I started doing the podcast and writing more, that's when I started noticing that I'm not alone. You know, our dispatch center is not alone. There's all these other people, just like you were saying, that thin gold line, this other family that we can reach out to. And that's what people need to do. They need to know that they can reach out and not feel like they're the only ones dealing with certain situations.
Absolutely.
So going into the new year, there are people, a lot of people, I'm kind of one of them, or will be one of them, that tend to make a New Year's resolution for their health, or, you know, different, just anything, you know, that's coming up. What is one of the one things that you're looking to do for yourself? And then for others that are out there, you know, what can they do, you know, if they're looking for a way to reduce stress in the workplace or at home?
Well, for me personally, being on the road as much as I am, my commitment to myself personally and to the people that I work with in my classes is to always, whenever I'm on the road, I always run before a class. I run 2 or 3 miles on a treadmill. If it's nice enough outside, I'll run outside for 20 or 30 minutes. And I that's how I start every day, because I know that when I get into the training room, I'm on my feet for pretty much the entire 8 hours. And to sustain that level of energy that people really connect with, I need to take care of myself. And I've been, if I'm on the road for 2 straight weeks where I'm going from hotel to hotel, airport to airport, training facility to training facility, it's easy to say to myself, you know, you worked real hard. You were on your feet for 8 hours teaching the class yesterday. You don't need to get up tomorrow morning and do your workout. It's easy to say that. It's easy to even rationalize that, say, you know, you earned it. But I know that it's self-deception.
Right.
Because I know that my level of energy and all of these things that I've heard that people like about my classes, it's only because I exercise regularly. I exercise 3 or 4 times a week. I try to eat well. And so the commitment for me personally moving into 2018 is to continue to do that and really be reflective of how I feel when I fall off, because there are weeks when I fall off. Like the last 2 weeks, I haven't been doing much exercise. I went for like a 6 mile run on Monday of this week because I hadn't done anything for the week before, and I'm still in pain. My feet still hurt. My back still hurts. So it's if I fall off, I try to jump back on the horse and go too hard, then I'm just setting myself up for failure. So I think for me, it's consistency. For me, it's understanding when I fall off, how it feels, so that I'm less apt to fall off in the future. And then just seeing it as a marathon and not a sprint. This life is long, and we have to plan for it.
For sure. Yeah. You definitely have some discipline there, at least more discipline than I do, because when we saw each other back in May, this past May at Michigan, Nina, we were all hanging out and stuff and talking, and the group that we were with, we were going to stay out a little longer there in the restaurant, and you ended up going to crash out because not only did you have a class the next day, but you were going to work out at like 6 a.m. or something, you said. And I remember, I just thought, damn, he's going full force. But, you know, during that visit as well, I was in so much pain. The people don't really know about it. I'm talking more about it now. But during that whole time, I was in so much pain that, I hid it very well. But it was unbearable, man. I mean, my back was completely destroyed, my shoulders, my neck as well. I mean, we did an episode during that conference, and it was, I kept moving around. I don't know if you noticed, but I kept kind of adjusting the way I was sitting because I was in that much pain. And I even took Tylenol before that that episode. But when I finally decided to make a change, I stopped drinking. It doesn't go to say that I'm not going to have a beer again, because I like beer, but I needed to detox. I needed to do something to change. So I haven't had a drink in like 3 months now.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I've just been, you know, drinking water and trying to do as much as I can to just stay healthy and motivated and moving around. And I've been doing yoga every day in the morning and trying to meditate as much as possible. And I have to tell you that going into the end of this year, I am feeling the best that I have in a while, because the whole 2017 was hell. It was good, man.
You said that the yoga is really helping with your back. That's so great.
Yeah, it has definitely been helping. I finally feel like I'm getting back to normal. So that's what I'm going to continue to do for myself. Is just continue to, you know, keep on the yoga and the meditation and just keep on keeping on.
That's great.
What about,
so I would recommend, you asked also what I would recommend for others going into.
Yes, I was just going to ask you that again. Go ahead.
Awesome. Well, I think the biggest thing is to just stick to one thing, find one thing and stick to it. It is. So many of us, we think that we have to go get a personal trainer. We have to sign up for a 10K. We have to, and it's fine to have goals and achieve those goals and have some forward momentum as a result of the accomplishment of those goals. However, some of us are so we need instant gratification. We live in a culture of instant gratification. And yep. with fitness especially, it takes about 12 weeks. I mean, you will start to see a difference within 4 weeks in your body, but for those changes to stick, it takes about 12 weeks. That's a long time in modern life. And so the thing that if you're going into the new year and you want to make a change, find one thing and stick to it. And it can be as simple as waking up 15 minutes early each day and sitting still and breathing for 15 minutes. It can be as simple as doing 20 minutes of yoga after three times a week after your shift. And it doesn't matter if you get off at 7 a.m. or if you get off at 7 p.m. or just commit to doing one thing and see how you feel after 40 days. And if you like what you feel, like how you feel, and like what you see, continue and introduce another thing and track it. So start small and let the benefits prove themselves and the value to yourself.
Definitely. Well said, man. Now, going into the wrap up of this episode, when is the next summit and how do people register for that?
The next summit is in Amarillo on January 30th and 31st, Amarillo, Texas. And anyone in the Amarillo area or interested in coming into the Amarillo area for the summit can just reach out to me directly. You can shoot me an email. And it's adam@thehealthydispatcher.com. And I'll give you the information on the coordinators who are handling that. We also have one coming up in June in Montana. And, I'm sorry, I skipped over May in Connecticut. We're working out the specific details of May in Connecticut. But Montana is June 5th and 6th. And registration isn't set up for those yet. But if you follow me on my various social media outlets or join the newsletter or follow me on The Healthy Dispatcher, you will get that information because we push it out frequently over the next several weeks.
Excellent. And then where are you headed next?
Amarillo is actually my next.
That'll be the first one?
Yeah, January 29th will be the next travel, which is amazing to have about a month off.
And then the season starts again, huh, my friend?
It kicks back up, yeah. So if any listeners there are interested in following me, I have a Facebook business page. It's The Healthy Dispatcher. You can also friend me on Facebook, Adam. I think it's Adam Tim, Adam A.G. Tim, my middle initials on there. TheHealthyDispatcher.com includes all of the information on upcoming events and our classes and the newsletter. And if you want to shoot me an email personally, I'm very accessible about anything that we've talked about today or any questions that you have, please do so.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much. It's always fun to have you on and to talk to you. Thank you again for being on the podcast.
I appreciate the opportunity. It's always great to talk with you, Ricardo, and seeing you at the various conferences. It's like you're always the familiar face that I know is going to be at conference. So I seek you out because it's like an old friend every time we get together. And so this is no different. This conversation, I just love it.
Awesome. I feel the same way, man. So for those who are listening, if you have any comments or questions, you can email the podcast. Or if you want to be a guest as well, you can email us. It's going to be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's going to be @901podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And also, you can listen to us 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, and just added streaming on Spotify. So if you have Spotify, you can stream the podcast now on that as well. There's only one more episode for 2017, and it's going to be an important one. Since the beginning of the I Am 911 movement, your stories have been shared with the world, and it's time to expand that exposure. But, you know, what form will it take? You know, you're going to have to wait to find out on episode 165. I just want to thank everybody for the support and for listening and just everything. It's been awesome. I've been listening to old episodes of the podcast as well, and that word is my word, apparently, because I say awesome a lot, but I don't know how else to say it. It's just been really, really good. Everything that's going on with the movement, the support for the podcast, and the decals, the code 7 Dispatch apparel, everything that's been coming out from it. So 2018 is going to be a great one for the podcast and the movement. Again, we got an announcement coming, a big one, on episode 165. So have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.